You're listening to the Spicy Dividend.
Hey, hey, what is up, everyone? It is Thursday, April 2nd, 2020. The time I'm recording this is 6:22 p.m., so the markets are well past close. S&P 500 up 2.3% over 500 points, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2.1%. Almost the same exact numbers today. Very kind of freaky that the Dow Jones and the S&P linked up perfectly. But welcome to the Spicy Dividend Podcast today. Going to be a little bit different. So look, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast for the past week, you already know what positions I'm investing in. I did another 30-day in the DGRO, so let's not try and bore you guys too much with the same old shit, saying like, oh, here's why I bought this, here's this, dividends are great, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to talk about two things today. I'm going to talk about short sellers and fundamentals, and I'm going to talk about cash on hand. So look, everyone in this kind of environment is seeking out companies with really good credit ratings and with really good cash on hand, cash and cash equivalents, short-term investments, whatever you want to call it, low debt loads that can weather this kind of storm. And these are essentially cash-heavy companies are ones that you want to invest in. Now, we're not going to talk about Berkshire Hathaway in this one because they're kind of an oddball. You know, if you love Berkshire stock, absolutely go for it. You're investing in the brand with Berkshire Hathaway. But nonetheless, everyone and their mother knows that they're sitting on a ton of cash. It's no secret. Let's talk about the other companies that are sitting on a boatload of cash. So I'm reading this right off from investors.com. Investors.com ETF and funds section. The title of the article is $325 billion in the bank, nine companies ready for any crisis. So I'm not trying to take any credit for doing any of the research here. I just want to read off some of the companies that are doing really well and kind of comment on why they're a little bit interesting. So this article was released on March 19th of 2020, so it's very relevant. Not much has changed the past 10 days, especially with businesses closed. But let's start from the bottom up. So this is the nine companies that they have as the S&P 500 companies with the most net cash. So let's look into it. Starting from the bottom at number nine, you have PayPal. So PayPal, if you don't know, PayPal is the payment services. You can use it to pay online to other people out of your bank account. And they also own Venmo. PayPal was originally established by Elon Musk. They have a BBB+ S&P credit rating. They are currently sitting in a net cash position of $5.3 billion, doing very well. Number eight, it's going to be kind of a big shock. Norton LifeLock, this is ticker symbol NLOK, BB credit rating from the S&P and Standard & Poor's, and they have an $8.2 billion net cash position, so they're doing just fine in the IT sector, just like PayPal. The next one's also IT, a much bigger name, a lot more well-known in the chip segment. Is NVIDIA. And if you're familiar with those kind of chips and processors, NVIDIA is the biggest name in the game. Huge market cap. And they are sitting on $8.3 billion net cash. And they have a credit rating of A-. So they're doing very well for themselves. BBB rated credit rating for our next company, who's finally out of the IT department. This is Humana. And they're in healthcare. And they're the only healthcare company that makes this list. Now, they've gone down, as of March 19th, they've gone down over 30%, but they are sitting on $8.7 billion net cash. So for a healthcare company, that's amazing that they're sitting on that much cash. The fifth highest net cash position in the S&P 500, we're going back to IT, Cisco, ticker symbol CSCO. This one's very popular among dividend investors. AA- credit rating, so very, very good credit rating. They are sitting on approximately $10 billion in net cash, so a lot of room to grow. Now, the next four, the big four, just wallop everyone in terms of how much cash they are sitting on. Social media, we go for number four, it's Facebook. Everyone's familiar with Facebook, ticker symbol FB. They are sitting on $43.8, roughly, billion dollars in net cash. So sitting on a lot of cash. Then we go to Microsoft. This is not surprising in the least bit. They have one of the best balance sheets, if not the best balance sheet, maybe in the entire world. It's very possible. AAA credit rating. They are sitting on $47 billion in cash. The next one, we go to the phone giant Apple. Again, not surprising at all, but again, another IT, AA plus rated credit rating, sitting on $90 billion in net cash. And number one, greatest cash position, who do you think it is? It's not a surprise. It is Alphabet, aka Google. AA plus credit rating, sitting on over $100 billion in net cash. What are you noticing? It's a lot of technology. I mean, if you're going from pure tech plays, Alphabet, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Cisco, NVIDIA, NortonLifeLock, PayPal, seven of the nine best companies in terms of net cash position right now are tech companies. And you kind of have to change the dynamic because, look, after we have the dot-com bubble in the 2000 range, a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, tech's a giant bubble. Tech's always going to be a bubble. These overpriced, you know, PE ratios out the wazoo tech companies, you know, once we get a depression or recession or whatever, they're the ones that are going to be crashing hardest, crashing first, crashing hard. It's just not true. It's not true at all. The top four are almost the FANG stocks. Netflix is not in there, but Netflix is doing very well for this type of recession when it's virus-based. But Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, Alphabet, a combined, what is that, 190, 230, a combined 270 plus billion in cash between those four companies alone. All pretty much IT-related, or at least, you know, Silicon Valley-related. So it just kind of changes your dynamic. Look, yes, perception's obviously important in the stock market, but at the end of the day, people care about how strong the company is financially, right? That's the name of the game. You're not buying companies that are bound to go bankrupt unless you're trying to short them. But these companies have a ridiculous amount of cash, and there's a reason that they, the NASDAQ in general, is doing a lot better. Not a lot better, but they're doing better than the S&P 500 in general. They're doing a lot better than the Dow Jones Industrial Averages because they're heavy in these tech companies that are actually doing a great job holding a lot of cash, you know, lowering their debt as much as possible, not going too crazy with share repurchases. But look, they're holding a lot of cash, and those are the type of companies you're into: Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, Google, right up your book. So one company that's not on the list, and I'm not sure what their cash position is right now, but it's Amazon. Amazon's another one of those things that was another one of the companies that was trading at a ridiculous PE for how many years now? I mean, they didn't make a profit for how many years? And look at their stock. It's doing fine. Their peaks were at around like $2,200. It's at $1,900 a share. It's not crashing by any means. It took a little bit of a dip, but I mean, compared to a lot of other stocks, I'm going to go out there and say it's doing better than like 90% of the stocks out there. Amazon's doing just fine for itself. So it brings into the perception that if you're investing in these individual companies, do your homework and see which ones have the best balance sheet. Your companies can grow and grow and grow their revenue, but if their balance sheet is terrible, they might not go anywhere. You have companies like a Grubhub, like an Uber, like a Lyft, where, yeah, their revenues, their total revenues might be growing year over year over year, and they might be able to do some accounting magic to get their adjusted EBITDAs to where they show positive when in reality they're hemorrhaging money. But their balance sheets are trash. They're not holding that much cash. It's an on-demand service, so they, you know, how much cash realistically could they be doing? Although you have all the worker arbitrage that's working against their favor. The debt is huge. The infrastructure is just terrible. So balance sheet, in my opinion, is always, always more important than P&L. P&L helps. It's definitely a factor. You don't want to see a company that's like, oh, they're growing cash, but they're losing revenue 10% year over year. That's obviously not good. They do go hand in hand. But I personally believe the balance sheet is more important than P&L. And I also believe the cash flow is most important of them all. So cash itself is a huge position. Debt repayments is huge for me, and I want to see the operating income, cash flows from operation drastically going up. I don't care so much about cash flow from investing activities and cash flow from financing activities. Cash flow from operations is huge. And if that's increasing, good things are going to happen for the company. So I'm going to switch gears here a little bit and talk about, and the reason I'm even bringing this up is because I watched the entire hour interview, and I apologize because I forget his name, but he's like a noted short seller. He described his fund as like he has a decent chunk of his like management funded portfolio in short. How did he describe it? He has like a pool for short funds. That's the way he described it. A pool for short funds. What's essentially that pool is only used for shorting, right? And he said like his net portfolio overall is a still long position. Okay, so it's not like this guy is 100% perma bear always short. He just has a pool of funds that he puts to the side. I think he said it's roughly 10 to 20% of his portfolio, which they're always going to be betting short on some stocks. And, you know, it's true for a lot of these cases. If you follow bears, perma bears on some companies on Twitter or on Instagram, or if you follow them on YouTube and they do great research, they usually do great research. They're huge into fundamentals. Look, short sellers are typically more interested in the fundamentals of a company rather than the speculations of a company. So the stock market's all about speculation, where you foresee the company's going to be in the future. You know, that's not a surprise to anyone. It's all about the future cash flows. Where are you going to be in 10 years, right? Are you going to be worth way more than what you're going to be worth today? Well, then we're going to value the price of the stock way more than, you know, what earnings are bringing in today. Short sellers are going to look at the fundamentals more so than longs half the time, because they want to find out, okay, why is it that, you know, your cash is decreasing so much? Why is your debt going up so much? Why are the interest payments going up so much? Are they a high risk candidate for insolvency? Are they high risk for committing fraudulent activity on accounting? And that is deemable. I mean, if you have numbers that are spiking in one direction on the balance sheet, but on the PL, it's telling a different story, and the cash flow doesn't match at all. You're seeing huge discrepancies on the inflows and outflows of cash versus what's showing on the balance sheet as of one date versus what's showing on the PL. And then you get all these management adjustments for EBITDA and whatnot. You can detect fraud in some cases. Now, whether they get called out on it or not is one thing, and whether how much it is and if it's even relevant is another thing. You know, you get something like Luckin Coffee today in good old China, you're going to get caught. And look, there's a lot of people that are just permanent short China, and if they were short Luckin, they made an absolute fortune today, going down 75% in one day. But I kind of want to get into that. So in the past on my podcast, I've talked negatively on Tesla short sellers, and that was more on the emotional side, just saying like, look, if you're betting against Tesla, like you're betting kind of against like the future of like what we need the future to be for cars. They need to go electric. They need to get off gasoline. They need to get off oil. It's just got to happen. It's better for the environment. It's better efficiency, so on and so forth. There's a myriad of reasons why we need to go electric versus oil. And look, you go to Europe and it's trending that way. It's been trending that way way longer than it has in the United States. It's still relatively new. The electric car industry is still relatively new in the United States. It is growing rapidly. But, you know, when will it overtake the classic cars that we still have today on the road? Who knows? You're talking decades and decades down the road. But there's a reason that they're short the company, right? You don't just short a company just because it's like, oh, I hate the logo, short it. They're going to do an intense amount of fundamental research. And, you know, when you invest in individual stocks, you can get away with it a little bit when you do passive investing, like pretty much I am. It's all huge sectors or just a dividend growth fund, which, you know, comprises over 400 companies. You don't have to go as research heavy into ETFs. But if you're going individual, you know, it's very wise to do a hell of a lot of fundamental research just to get the strength of the balance sheet. And how is the PL improving, and how are the cash flows from operations doing? There's a reason that certain stocks get so many short sellers and a lot of short interest. It's just because they see a lot of holes in the company's, what do you want to call it? Business? That's too basic. They see a lot of holes in the direction that the company is going. They see the outflows and inflows of cash going the wrong direction. They see certain spikes in areas that they don't think are reasonable or sustainable. They see the future of the company, where they're spending money for the future. It's not necessarily ideal. They might be lower credit rating companies and they're seeking a lot of debt. And if times get hard, they might have solvency issues. Look, they're going to be heavy into the fundamentals, way more than the speculation game. Okay? They're all about fair valuation. So what I'm saying to you is, if you're going to invest in the individual companies, look to see how many short shares there are. Look to see how many adamant short sellers there are. And that might be one of the first places that you read if you're doing research on an individual company. See what the bears say. You know, the bulls are always going to be, there's a hell of a lot more bulls than there are bears in the world, at least in America. Essentially, everyone in America is hoping the market goes up. There's always going to be that handful of bears. They're always going to get outnumbered. But when that small niche of bears congregates towards a certain grouping of stocks, read into why. Just look at why they're doing it. You know, a lot of these companies that have gone bankrupt, these bears did call it perfectly. And look, it works the same bull and bear. It's impossible to time the bottom if you're a bull, impossible to time the top if you're a bear. So, you know, they might get burned and it's tougher for a bear because you can get infinitely burned if you're holding shares short. So, look, they're taking a lot of risk. They're taking way more risk than bulls are. That being said, if the fundamentals are correct in that, you know, the company isn't as strong as everyone perceives it to be, they can be right too. And it's going to be all based on fundamentals, not on guessing, speculation, stock orders. Just one thing to keep in mind. If you're doing individual investing, I always did this in the past when I heavily invested into one company. Always look to see what short sellers say. Look at what short analysts say. Why they are short. Is it any reason to defer you from buying that holding? Because they're always going to be looking at the fundamentals. And it's something that bulls and bears should both be looking at. But bears tend to be more fundamentally inclined than bulls. Bulls are just, you know, I see the future of the company. The bears are like, well, here is the company, whether you like to see the future or not. Just one thing to keep in mind. Hope you enjoyed today's segment on the Spicy Dividend Podcast, episode 39. I believe I will see you tomorrow for Friday.